Thank you again for your welcome this morning, Henry and all the church family. It's good to be back, even though we come here so briefly. And I want just to thank you for your partnership in our work, in prayer, and in your generous support for some of our projects. And it's great to be able to open God's word in this passage. And I understand you've been looking at Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And really, this is a similar thing that is just looking at how it worked with Paul rather than with Peter. And we have this great verse, I believed, and therefore I spoke. And Peter, in Acts chapter 2, believed, and therefore he spoke. And similarly, Paul here is picking up what the psalmist said and saying that's how he lived as well. So please do open your Bibles at page 1160. And keep that open. But I want to start with a story from Kurdistan. It's about a man called Hamza Said, who was born in about 1862. So it's got nothing to do with us being in Kurdistan. And he was a very gifted young guy. His father was a mullah in the city of Sanandaj, which is western Iran, or part of what is called Kurdistan. It was one of those yellow dots you could see up there, maybe. And at the age of six, this young boy spoke Kurdish at home. He could learn to read and write Farsi, Iranian language, Persian language, and he also could read the Quran in Arabic at the age of six. I'm age 65 and I'm still struggling with to learn it. The Quranic Arabic is not normal Arabic. And when he was 13, his father sadly died, and he became the kind of one of the breadwinners in the family by being appointed the mullah in the mosque at the age of 14. And he became a teacher to others as his father had been. Now, there was no Bible in that city. It was a Muslim city. But he came across some Chaldean Catholic Christians who had come to the city for business, and they didn't speak Farsi, didn't speak Persian language. So they engaged this young man to be the Farsi tutor for their children. And he went to this Christian home, whether they were believers or not, I don't know, but they had a Bible. And he looked at it out of curiosity, but he couldn't really understand it. And they, you know, didn't really seem to be engaged in teaching it to him. So he gave up on it. He thought, oh, they believe in three gods. They're hopeless. And yet in 1879, when he was 17, a pastor evangelist, an Assyrian man, came there, but with a desire to read the Bible and to spread the gospel of Christ, sent by a mission group. And he wanted to learn Farsi as well. It wasn't his native tongue. So he also engaged this young 17-year-old as his Farsi tutor. But he had a different agenda, and he used the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John had been translated in about 1812 by a man called Henry Martin, who was sent out from Cambridge in about 1810, I think. Anybody heard of Henry Martin? Anybody read his story? It's a great story. But at the age of 31, having translated the New Testament, and he left the Old Testament for somebody else, he was traveling back to visit Lydia, who he pledged to marry, when he died in Turkey at the age of 31. It's a tragic story, but his work did not die. And his translation work was used by this Pastor John to read the scriptures with Hamza Said. And this young man, was just intrigued by the Bible and the message of the Bible. And he found that the scriptures were taking his time more than the Quran. He was reading the Bible more than the Quran. And he thought, whoops, this is bad news. This is taking me away from the true faith. And so he vowed never to touch a Bible again, returned the Bible he had borrowed from Pastor John. And he made a vow to God that he would never touch the scriptures ever again. He would never talk to any Christian about the Christian faith. And to show the seriousness of his vow, that night he got up and he rekindled the fire in the family home till it was red hot. And then he used the tongs and plucked out a coal and punched it into his left leg, into his thigh. And then he got another collar and plunged it into his right leg. And the pain must have been immense. He was serious. The pain slowly went, but the pain in his conscience did not. And after some time of struggling, he went back and knocked on Pastor John's door and says, "Can I borrow the Bible again?" And he began to read the Bible for himself, and Pastor John was explaining it to him step by step. He learned passages of scripture, the whole Sermon on the Mount, he learned by heart. And he decided he was going to believe. His brother had seen he was changing, but he didn't tell his brother at that stage. But Pastor John then in April 1880 secretly baptized him, but nobody else knew because it would have caused his death. 3 weeks later, though, and Pastor John had to leave him, had to go somewhere else, and he was on his own, and just God said, God told him, he's got to tell his family. And so he went away to spend time up in the hills near the town on his own. And people were used to him being at the mosque 5 times a day to climb the minaret and give the call to prayer. No electrics in those days. And he had a beautiful voice, and people loved to listen to him reading the familiar Arabic phrases of the Quran, the call to prayer. But there was nobody there. There was no call to prayer. And it went wrong. And everybody thought, well, where is he? Where is he? And eventually he pitched up, and they said, where have you been? Didn't answer anything. But he handed his brother a letter. And the letter read, "My brother, in the name of the one and only God, my brother, you know the dangers to my life grow greater every day. To remain in the family home is impossible. I am a Christian and confess it openly to you. If you will murder your brother, my life is in your hands. I cannot escape from you, and death also is a gain to me. If you spare my life, I shall be very thankful. As long as I live, I will respect you and serve you as much as I can. My wish is to flee from here so that you can get more peace." And he handed the letter to his brother. And later on, in the family home, he shared with his uncles. And he said to them, "By long study of the holy books, I've read that Isa, Jesus, the Son of God, is the only Redeemer of men. I am a Christian. And I hope that you and all Muslims will one day see the light and know the truth as God has revealed it to me." Bang! The family home exploded. His brother kind of tried to get out his dagger, which he carried all the time, and was about to stab him, but his uncles restrained him and said, look, just let this madness pass. Give him a night to collect himself and he can recant tomorrow and take away his blasphemy. Well, that night, he couldn't sleep. And then, as the morning star was rising, he took his Bible and quietly left. His brother came after him, tried to kill him, but missed. He had a gun or something. I don't know, but Hamad Saeed survived. And his brother eventually came to faith. Hamad Saeed became a medical doctor. I mean, it's an incredible story. I've got a copy of the book there if you'd like to borrow it. But the reason I've told a long story at the beginning, I will come to the Bible, don't worry, is that it helped me especially to keep going, to remind myself that the message of Christ, the resurrection, is powerful. And how did Paul keep going? How did Hamad Saeed keep going? He believed, therefore he spoke. So we come back to this verse. And before we go to the rest of the verse, let's look at chapter 4, verse 1. If you could open you've got the Bibles open, hopefully still. Chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." I have been tempted to lose heart many times. And Paul, also here, shows that he was tempted to lose heart. So I expect there's many of you who've been tempted to lose heart as Christians. How do we keep going? Look again at verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart." And the great theme here is, how did Paul keep going? And one of the things that helped him keep going was verse 13. It's written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. What's happening in Corinth? Paul's under attack. Paul's teachers have come there. They're accusing him of various things, some of which have a grain of truth. And so Paul's defending himself, defending his integrity, his authority, and showing why he's convinced of the gospel and why he is confident of its truth. In verse 2, he says, we've renounced secret and shameful ways. We don't use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's saying, look, we are being honest before you. And he wants to talk in verse 5. He says, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants. So Paul wants to present himself as a faithful servant of the new covenant. And he anticipates hardship. Look in verse 8. We are hard-pressed. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are struck down. But then he comes on to the negative side. But we are not crushed. We are not in despair. We are not abandoned. We're not destroyed. And he wants to remind the Corinthians that death is at work in him. He says we carry about in our body the death of Jesus, the dying of Jesus, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. He's sharing how he has struggled as a Christian. But he wants to encourage them to be confident of the gospel. And one of the ways is this verse in verse 13. It is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Now, Paul's quoting Psalm 116 here, where the psalmist is saying, I believed, therefore I spoke, but it's more in the context of prayer. So in the psalm we have, there are various translations of the psalm. If you look up in your Bible, you'll find there are different bits. But all the context is believing and therefore speaking, trusting and speaking. And the psalmist believed and therefore talked to God. Paul believed and therefore talked about God. And I think that's key, that we understand that spirit of faith brings us to pray. That's why we pray. It also leads us to share our faith with words. So just 6 words for you to take away this morning. I believed, and therefore I spoke. But obviously this question, what did he believe? And secondly, a question, what was his message? And you can answer both questions with one word, the resurrection. It's simplistic, okay, but it's great to have that simple answer. So we can see that it was both what caused him to believe and what he preached. But in... let's go on now to what Paul actually taught the Corinthian church earlier on. He'd written in the first letter, in chapter 15, these great words. For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared, lastly, to me also. And that is what we preached, and that's what you believed. And Paul had a thing with the resurrection, didn't he? I guess he was on the road to Damascus, believing that Jesus was a dead, convicted criminal, an imposter who'd said he was the Son of God. And then suddenly, bang, he meets the risen Jesus. He's confronted with the truth of the resurrection on the Damascus road. And later, in Athens, some people think he's preaching two gods. One's called Jesus and one's called the resurrection, because he can't preach about Jesus without preaching about the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 15, he's has these great words, but let's go back to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13, the passage we have open. And let me read that again. It's written, I believed, therefore I've spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. Is that what's written? No. That's what I would expect to be written. Because the resurrection of Jesus was like a kind of a key block in my faith. That's one of the things when I came to faith as a student that held me as a believer. I read the book, Who Moved the Stone, which some of you may come across. And maybe there are some here this morning who think, I don't actually believe that Jesus was raised bodily. And that's reasonable because dead men don't normally walk. Really, believing in the resurrection is an extraordinary idea. Do dead people really rise? Do we really believe that? And if you do struggle with that, please do examine the evidence. It's one of the evidence that helped me was really to investigate that and that book, Who Moved the Stone, who I mentioned. Have you got a copy, do you think, here? I'm sure. Ask Henry, you can get. You've got a copy. But it's Jesus, Paul did not write, because we know that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. Look down again at 2 Corinthians 4. He says in verse 14, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. The focus is actually on our resurrection, not on the resurrection of Jesus. So it's Paul's conviction about the resurrection, both of Christ, which is about 30 years before he wrote, and the future resurrection of believers because they're united to Christ. It's this that motivated him to speak. And so it is with us. It's this same conviction in the resurrection, both the resurrection of Jesus 2,000 years ago, but our future resurrection, your future resurrection, my future resurrection. It's this conviction that will inspire us and move us to speak. We believe in the resurrection, and therefore we speak. So 2,000 years on, and what is your faith anchored in? In God doing good things today? He sometimes brings us through tough times, hardships and trouble. In recent years, I've been through a period of doubt, to be honest with you. And I thought, is it all true? Do I really believe all these things? Do I really believe that I will be raised when I die? I raised to a new life in Christ? Do I really believe that Christ will come again? Do I really believe there's a new heaven and a new earth? And I've taken myself back to the truth of the resurrection. Because if I've lost my conviction, I can't speak with conviction. If I've lost my confidence, I can't have confidence in a message to preach. So I've come back to say not only this, but these words. For what Paul received is... Wait a minute. We're going to go on from there. No, I've got myself lost. Sorry about this. Okay, it's all the dots in. Okay. No, I want this one. Sorry, I can't see that screen with my glasses. I'm sorry. I should have brought it closer. let me read this now. For what Paul received, he passed on to others as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12, and last of all, he appeared to Paul also. That is what is preached to me, and that is what I believed. And I've repeated that to myself, and that has given me great assurance. So we'll actually, I think, go on through this. Paul describes his message in different ways. And if you look at 2 Corinthians, I think we'll leave that and summarize here that Paul's faith that Jesus rose from the dead underpinned his conviction about the gospel of Christ and gave him confidence and motivated him to go on speaking the gospel of Christ to others. But how does this apply to us? You can say, all this speaking stuff, that's for Henry and other preachers who come here, for Sandy, who's as a missionary or whatever. But I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a preacher. But this verse, I believed, therefore I spoke. It's not I became a preacher and therefore I spoke. I became a missionary and therefore I spoke. It's I believed. And it goes back to Psalm 116, where the psalmist believed and prayed. And I think as faith without works is dead, I think faith without any desire to communicate the message of Christ is dead. I may not be an extrovert. I may find it difficult, but I have a unique set of friends, acquaintances, neighbors, colleagues, family, who I'm alone connected to. I'm going up to visit some of my, I've got a family reunion at the end of this month with a whole lot of my cousins. I'm the youngest son of the youngest brother. So all my cousins are a lot older than me. So I'm the kind of junior. But a lot of them are not believers. It's a very interesting mix. And I don't know who else is going to be there who actually is a believer. What an opportunity. How am I going to use that? Pray for me. But we all have a unique set of relationships. And all of us can be speakers for Christ. And with your October mission coming up, I pray that you can pray and invite people who you've never invited before. All of us are in a journey with relationships. So let's pray about who can be invited, how we, every believer in this church, can be part of that mission in inviting people and in sharing the faith. There's a Persian proverb, if you find a blind person near a well and keep silent, you've sinned. You don't need to be a teacher of the blind. You just need to have eyes that see. If you are a blind person, if you find a blind person near a well and keep silent, you have sinned. So do I really believe it? That's the first application. Let's pray for each other. Pray for ourselves that our faith is based in this resurrection story. Remember the story I started with, Hamza Said. And I want to go back to that because I've got to know another mullah in Kurdistan in recent years. He's called Mullah Hassan. And he came across the story of Hamza Said on the radio broadcast from Europe. And because after he died, his family wrote the story in English. It was translated to Kurdish and then it's been broadcasting. It's now being made into an audiobook, which we want to get out onto the net. So in this story, who believed and spoke? Henry Martin was sent out from Cambridge in 1805 or something. He believed and he spoke and did the translation work that was crucial. Pastor John, the Assyrian evangelist, he believed and spoke by coming to a city where there was no church and engaging this young man to be his Farsi tutor. Hamza Said himself believed and had the courage to tell his family. Pray for me with my family. I'm not afraid of them. They're not going to be like that. But friends of Hamza Said believed and spoke. They wrote up the story. I got a copy of the book there. And then that was translated and made into a radio program. And this Mullah Hassan said to me, would that I could be like Hamza Said. Wow. And we had the opportunity of meeting with him and speaking with him. So may our faith that Jesus rose from the dead and that we ourselves will be raised with Christ underpin our conviction of the truth of the gospel and give us confidence in the gospel and motivate us to speak the gospel. It is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe, and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Amen.